Good afternoon, everyone. It's your Commissioner Farrell Elliott, and I am with the gentleman that I spend every Monday afternoon with. It's my favorite phone call of the week. We take a look at the NFL as it shines its brightest light on Monday Night Football. Tonight's components are New York Giants and the Tampa Bay Bucks, our leading component and a success to our weekly Monday night wraparound is none other than the Cash Money brother, Sean Ligon. How is everything in Madisonville this morning, sir?
Wonderful.
Even after that week of fantasy football that left your head scratching, the winds knocking the ball around, the low-scoring games, the high-scoring games in some locales, it always seems like when that weather favors a high-scoring game, I don't have those guys. But when it favors a low-scoring game, that's where my guys are.
That's right.
You know, Sean, one high-scoring player that looks forward, if you have him on the roster, you can look forward to making a nice run here as we complete week 8 and make our stretch to week 11, 12 and 13 divisional playoffs. And I'll remind all the listeners, you're going through week 13 to secure one of those wild cards, even if you are not in the divisional playoffs. So Sean, Dalvin Cook, was it magic watching him cut through the Packers yesterday?
It was, because the thing about it was they weren't even throwing the ball at all unless they were throwing the ball to Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like, you know, they knew what was coming. They still couldn't do anything about it.
Jefferson, Adam Thielen stood aside to watch the magic that Cook threw the board. Did it get to as high as 48 fantasy points? Was that the final number?
Yeah, I believe that's right. It's an unbelievable amount. It looked like a high school game. You know, you like, he was clearly the best player on the field.
Derrick Henry games from his high school career. You know, we might get more Dalvin Cook lining up against underprepared and underdefensed opponents. Sean, you brought to my attention two things upcoming in his schedule. Weeks 9 through 13 look like this. Opponents: the Detroit Lions, the Chicago Bears, the Dallas Cowboys, Carolina Panthers, Jacksonville Jaguars, week 13 versus Jacksonville, division championship week. What is amazing is weeks 11, 12, and 13, all those teams and all those games will be played in Minnesota.
It's a dream schedule for a running back. It really is.
The nightmare switch then comes on. It's Tampa, Chicago, and New Orleans. So once you ride Dalvin into the playoffs, let's hope that you have a secured deeper backfield that can also get you points, because you'll be playing Dalvin Cook. But the problem is you'll be playing him against Tampa, Chicago again, and the New Orleans defense, which is just somewhat impenetrable against the run.
Right.
Speaking of impenetrable against the run, let's focus on what we're here for, Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football featuring the Tampa Bay Bucks and their mighty defense. You know, when people were drafting the Tampa defense this summer and in August, late August at the main event, I didn't quite get it. I think I'm just pre-wired to look at the situation of, they're in a division with New Orleans, that division with Carolina. You know, they're in a division which makes me think that they're going to play opponents that are going to put numbers on the scoreboard. That was some lousy thinking on my part, wasn't it, Sean?
Well, the thing about it is, I think even last year, you could see the Tampa defense was starting to come on. It's just the problem was last year you had a quarterback that threw 30 interceptions. Mm. So your defense is on the field all the time. Even if they were good, they're worn out. So, I mean, I think you can see the signs they had a pretty good defense. And, you know, New Orleans, one of those teams in the dome, you don't want to play against them. But, you know, you get them on grass, they're a little bit of a different team. Same way with Atlanta. You get them on grass, they're a different team. So, yes, it looks like a scary schedule from the outside looking in, but when you really look into it, there's only really a couple matchups you probably would want to stay away from them on.
Mm-hmm. Well, Halloween is over, but we do have still the monstrous turf that will feature the teams tonight. Now, the rushing defense of Tampa has held against so many excellent running backs this year.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what you might see, despite who you're going to play, despite who your opponent is, you're going to have to run the ball to have any kind of success in the NFL. So what do the Giants do and how should they do it, Sean?
Well, I've always really liked that player, Wayne Gallman, and I'm glad to see that he's finally going to get his opportunity tonight. I wish it was against a better matchup for his sake, because it seems like to me they've never really given him the full opportunity that maybe he's deserved.
Why is that? Well, I know they have a great running back in front of him, but it looks like when that running back went down, it looks like they prepared this player to be the backup. Our next man up philosophy, which you and I love so much of the NFL, should have meant, hey, it's Wayne Gallman time.
I totally agree. I didn't understand the move. I understand the move to bring Freeman in because you obviously need some depth. But, I thought Gallman should at least been on the field, for at least 30 or 40% of the plays, and it really wasn't until Freeman got hurt. Mm-hmm. Then he comes in last week. I mean, I understand, he's not Saquon Barkley, but the man is a very good pass catcher.
Mm-hmm.
Always been a very good pass catcher. He seems to be decent on protection. I'm no X and O's expert on that, but he seems to be pretty well at it. And he runs the ball fairly well. I was looking at his stats. I know it's a small sample size compared to Freeman's, but he's averaging 4 yards a carry and 6.2 yards per reception. So I think he's a much better option personally at this point than Freeman.
Those are good numbers for the 2020 New York Giants. And if you can put the touches in a guy's hand, you're going to get production. Next man up football, that's what we constantly talk about. It's become a theme this year. Boston Scott's a perfect example of next man up football. Be prepared. We saw yesterday touchdowns being scored by the fourth string running back of Seattle, DJ Dallas. Young player getting his opportunity, other running backs, both veteran and young players alike, have been impressive for Seattle. I believe you have to trust in your team. That it appears we may get some Cam Akers attention now as Henderson got a little banged up in Miami. Sean, we want to stay on Monday night, but I want to bring this up with you first. As you and I talked about it, everyone knows that I'm a pretty good Rams fan this year, but what very much angered me was the way that the Rams handled the end game against the Chicago Bears in their last contest. They dominated the Bears. Now, I talk to players a lot. Player sacrifice, it's been their whole year. They work tremendously hard to play a guaranteed 16-game schedule, 64 quarters of football. I get incensed when a coach takes his foot off the gas. You've prepared and prepared for these moments, and now when you've got a team pinned back against the wall, and I know from a fantasy perspective, we would love to see opposing coaches just put that team away. Just go ahead and run your offense. You're not piling up the score, but you're executing your offense. The Rams did not do that against the Bears as they coasted in the last quarter and a half. They fly across country to play Miami, and what do? They come out flat as a pancake. And the defense from the Miami Dolphins, which is a defense you and I talked about being very strong, that defense not only had a big, big fantasy day in the KFFFC, but it turned Jared Goff into one of the poorest starts for three quarters, two and a half quarters, at quarterback. Did you catch that vibe of what I'm talking about? And do you possibly think that might be part of the reason the Rams struggled so mightily yesterday?
I think it's quite possible, because you look at that game, and it's not like Miami played a great game either. Miami's offense was rather pathetic. I mean, if you look at it, I think they ran something. I think they averaged about 3 yards a play yesterday. It was horrible. So, the Rams defense, I guess you can say they showed up, but the offense was just, I mean, it was just awful. I mean, Jared Goff was, like you said, he was awful for three quarters. I mean, yes, he came back and got us some garbage time. Cooper Kupp finally had a good game and a, it was pretty much meaningless time, honestly. Yeah, it was hard to watch yesterday in the first half.
I just did it. It was fascinating, the defense and special teams with the kick return game there. Yeah, you've got to be ready to play, and I think staying ready to play. Well, I can continue to talk about that all night. Something I would rather talk about. Let's get back to tonight's game. I'll try to stay on point. Tonight's game, we have some matchups. You know, in these teams had players drafted. All the wide receivers from each teams were drafted. Some new guys, tight ends were drafted, and quarterbacks were drafted. There was a lot of talk about Jones really stepping his game up this year. There were some people that went late on quarterback. He was their number one QB off the board. So what I want to throw some things out there. Let's take a look. Let's say there are still some lineup decisions to be made. One of them is Evan Ingram, and one of them is Rob Gronkowski. Which way are you going to go, and why?
I would always go with the volume over the touchdown dependency. That I still think Gronk is awfully touchdown dependent at this point. It's getting better. I mean, he looks, believe me, he's running much better now than he was at the start of the season. He doesn't look quite as much like a robotic player that he did earlier in the year. Yeah, things are starting to look up. And with Mike Evans' demise, I do think Gronk is becoming that red zone target now. It doesn't seem like Mike Evans is just falling off the face of the earth. So that could add for some more opportunities for Gronk. But Evan Ingram is basically a wide receiver playing tight end. So he's always a mismatch. It's just whether they can get him the ball or not. So I always think that guy should be the better play, the safer play, just based on volume, honestly.
Ingram fantasy points versus Gronkowski fantasy points. It's going to be close. What are you seeing, Ingram?
It will be, and it probably all depends on if Gronk gets to the end zone or not. I would think both of them are somewhere 13 to 12, 13 point range for both of those players.
Because of what you say, I'm going to lean towards Gronk. So we're going to have a contest here. I'm going to
Okay.
lean towards Gronk on this one, and I think that you definitely are aware of this, and that you said it begins to look like he's fallen into place. And I think Gronkowski was on the field for most of the games, 70,
Yeah,
80% of
that's
the
right.
games, but he was being held in there to block. You know, he was
That's right.
he's one wonderful football player. I'm beginning to wonder what kind of football player Ingram is. I'm going with Gronkowski. Back in the lineup, Sterling Shepard back in the lineup for the New York Giants. Sterling Shepard, one of my all-time favorite players, versus Tom Brady's all-time favorite receiver, at least recently. And we'll call him all-time favorite rookie receiver, Scott Miller. Shepard or Miller?
I do not trust Miller. Miller is so up and down. He has what? He has monster games, then he has games where he has 2 points or less. It's one way or the other with this guy. So every time it looks like it's a great matchup and he should be the guy, he seems to lay an egg. I just don't trust I personally don't trust him. I'm with you. I really like Sterling Shepard. He's one of my favorite players. I think he's a very good player. I think he can do everything. The only problem he ever has is, staying healthy pretty much for the most part. So I would like Shepherd there.
Staying healthy with an aggravated toe injury, and that is a thing that can really drive you crazy. It hurts to play football when your feet are not with you. What is the mystery of Darius Slayton? And let me ask that question a little better. Is this a player who really was not that good a wide receiver, but had some good games? Or is this a player who has regressed, or is it quarterback related? Darius Slayton had some big games towards the end of last year. Where has it gone?
That's what I'm starting to wonder that myself. For a while, I thought that him and you know, quarterbacks normally have the one guy they really connect with. You know, they're really the guy they're really looking for. And it really seemed to be Slayton last year. But could that be just because he was the only guy out there left standing? You know what I mean? It could be that. It could be a way I just think that, you know, these guys magically just had this great connection. It could have been he was just the only guy out there. So I don't know. I'm starting to question it now. I was a believer in Slayton earlier in the year. Again, he's a guy that has not come through when he's had some really good matchups. He just hasn't. And Shepard being back, when Shepard and Ingram both are in there, and even Tate to some extent, he seems to kind of disappear when those other guys are out there.
We kind of thought that Tate might be trade information might be coming forth on Tate today, and it still could happen. Perhaps if you see that, Slayton does find your lineup. I'd like to see Slayton deliver. It's a lot of single point fantasy production for Slayton, and it just hasn't been there yet. He's got to stay out of my lineup. Tom Brady over and under fantasy points. Sean, can we get to 30 with Tom Brady at quarterback tonight?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll have that difficult of a time where they'll need to throw the ball that much. So, I would say game script probably does not allow Tom to have a huge night tonight.
Bruce Arians does not take his foot off the gas. I believe that we're going to see more offense coming from Tampa, club. And so far we've had Brady with huge, huge games, 30 plus points, pushing 40, 5 touchdowns. He's done it twice. I think we see a good 3 touchdown game and 300 yards, which begins to flirt with the numbers that I'm looking at. So if you want to pair a receiver with Brady to get the most points for your remaining Tampa Bay Bucks tonight, is it Evans or is it Gronkowski?
Oh, boy.
Yep.
The riddle of Mike Evans. You think that Mike Evans at some point has to get it back together and start playing football again, unless he's a lot more hurt than they're letting on.
Can I answer it? I did this on some podcast, so I don't want to be redundant and I don't want to be long-winded. I think, Evans, you brought it up about Jameis Winston, how his play affected the Tampa defense last year. Evans has worked with Winston all these years. He's broken off routes. He's run back towards the line of scrimmage. He's made terrific athletic plays to make catches, to bail out. You know, he catches that 50-50 ball, what they label 50-50. But if you put Evans on a corner in this league at 50-50, those numbers start going to Evans right away.
Yeah.
Now, Brady is throwing to a point on the field. And Evans is supposed to be there. If you watched it last week, that big, long touchdown to Scott Miller, you know, that ball was gone out of Brady's hands while Miller was still at the 10-yard line, maybe even further out. Gronkowski, same thing. Ball's in the air 3 seconds before Gronk even turns his head on a crossing route. Evans is just not used to this style of football. That's why he's been productive in the red zone, because he can get to a spot and turn around, or he can crawl across the back of that end line, and Brady will find him. I think that somehow – they will get on the same page. But, you know, everybody talked about, well, we didn't have preseason. How does that affect teams? In some ways, it doesn't affect teams. I think this duo working together would have arrived at a different point and spot with the preseason. So that's just my opinion on it. And I think we can watch the body language of Evans and see if he you know, on the passes that doesn't work, when he's not targeted, when he does not come down with the